I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
So, guess where Heidi is right now, guys?
Where?
Where?
Vaccinating Mr. Stinky Touche.
Good.
A.K.A. Phoenix for measles. And here's the thing. We started out with a doctor who I don't want to name her name. But I didn't love her approach. And I thought everything was like super drug, super medicine. Didn't love it. No, I'm not talking about vaccines.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just like, and there were some issues where we had croup and I didn't like the way it was handled and I felt like there was some negligence and I was like, I want a new doctor. So, actually, Andy, you'll find this interesting. Julia Roberts referred me to a guy named Dr. Gordon.
Yep.
Who also, Dr. J. Gordon, who also sees Pink's kid, Willow. And I was like, okay, come on. Is he like the Hollywood pediatrician? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see Dr. Gordon, and I loved this guy. Just because he took a really, I mean, he stops and he talks to you about parenting and what's going on in the home, and he takes a very holistic approach, and he looks at, like, what's going on with the kid, and where could a problem be stemming, and he'll give you alternatives. So, like, Lou got a rash. And he's like, well, we can put this really harsh fungicide cream, or you could use grapeseed extract and jojoba oil. Why don't you try the natural remedy for 2 days? If it doesn't get better, she's not going to die. Then use the... Like, I really liked his approach. Mm-hmm. Now, to be honest with you, I've never engaged with him in a conversation about vaccines. Because I went in and I said, I hear you're anti-vaccine. He's like, that's not true. He's like, I just say, I like to discuss each vaccine with the parents and explain, you know, what's absolutely necessary and what I think may or may not be necessary and then a schedule and this and that and the other. And I was like, I personally want to vaccinate my kids. And the reason I say this for me is because I worked on the doctors for 5 seconds. And I remember Dr. Jim Sears, whose father is one of the most famous pediatricians of all time. They were like, this is a first world problem. This is absurd. Like, things are starting to show up again that haven't shown up in years. Yes. Polio, measles, things that were just on the brink of complete and total eradication. And he was saying, like, there's no evidence to suggest whatsoever, this doctor said, that autism is linked to these vaccines. The science is relatively irrefutable. These things are not connected. Knowing a little bit about autism, there are other things that they're starting to think are linked to it. I've heard everything from, by the way, probiotics, lack of healthy bacteria, genetics, all kinds of stuff. So I don't know, you know, they're saying, also he was saying you have to think of this as a herd mentality, as in when you don't vaccinate one kid, you know, think of who you're jeopardizing worldwide and all this stuff. So for me, for my family, I was like, I want my kids vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So as measles started going around, and there was a doctor, not our doctor, but there was a doctor who said to Heidi, oh, you know, I've never met a kid who's had measles. So then I'm on Time Magazine and I read this letter written by Roald Dahl. Do you guys remember?
Yeah. Matilda.
Yes. His daughter died of measles.
At a time when there was no vaccination.
Measles complication.
What?
So his appeal is,
yes,
had I had the choice,
yes,
take it from me.
But what about the people who are freaked out about autism and all that stuff? That's so scary.
From what I've been told, and I wish we could have had Dr. V. I tried to get Dr. V on the show today to talk about it, and she says she can come on at a future date and discuss it.
Okay.
But any doctor I've ever spoken to, and they don't have an agenda of like, you know, I must vaccinate. Like, there is no, even Jenny McCarthy is like, oops. Have you seen that? She's like, oh, it wasn't, ooh, my kid doesn't actually have autism, whoopsie.
What?
Yeah, and has stepped off the pedestal about it being anti-vaccine.
Huh?
So to me personally, I just think this. People give me a lot of, okay, I'm going to use an example that I'm using from my life. I got a flu shot. And I talked about it on the show. And I had a bunch of listeners going, I can't believe you would get a flu shot. And I was like, okay, the year before, I got influenza B. I then got walking pneumonia.
Yep.
I had 103 fever.
You were hospitalized.
For 10 days. I was hospitalized.
Yep.
Thank you, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I was then put on powerful antibiotics, which are terrible for you. I was put on Cipro for 12 days. And I was put on antivirals. I mean, it ended up, the host of drugs that ended up being put into me because I didn't get the flu shot.
Right.
And I'm sorry, it becomes, I just can't, like, I don't want to take a risk for me personally with my son or my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to take the risk.
Right.
And I had my vaccinations. I don't have autism. I just think there's more to it. And doctors I've talked to that work in autism have given me a host of reasons. And by the way, none of them have mentioned vaccines. They've pulled the mercury out of the vaccines. As a parent,
right,
obviously, I'm going to tell you, you need to do all your research on this.
Right.
Agreed.
Clearly. You know, but for me personally, I am not taking a chance with my kid that he'll get something and die. I'm not doing it.
No.
No way. No
Agreed.
Way.
Agreed.
No. HPV? I mean, come on. It's like my daughter, if she sleeps with somebody, and we all know that people from time to time, very often in fact, don't use condoms.
Right.
And she's, let's say she's on the birth control pill, she gets HPV. Like, there's no cure for HPV.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vaccine, but there is no cure. Once you get it, it can't be cured. And it can cause ovarian cancer. Like, uh-uh. No, and it's extremely prevalent. I don't know.
Yeah.
It freaks me out.
I'll vaccine. For me, being pregnant, I listen a lot more. I've maybe read 20 articles in the last 2 months, just because now I need to understand the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned is in 2010, the original medical journal that produced the article was called The Autism Theory. It's now been retracted.
Yes!
And it was from there that everyone started this hysteria.
Yeah.
And it's from there that now everyone started to, you know, understand there's no correlation. And pediatricians now are saying, if you don't have your kid vaccinated, we will no longer treat you. It's becoming more of a prevalent omission of treatment. And even in schools, the legislation and stuff, they're now starting to say,
yeah,
if your kid isn't vaccinated now, herd mentality is to protect my baby because in the first year I can't vaccinate or autoimmune suppressant. If a child even has arthritis, they're not eligible to get it, from what I understand, from what I've read. And so, you know, herd immunity you have to protect. And they're just saying there's no correlation. So it's crazy that they're not legislating the hype. And they're saying also we have a false sense of security. We have this ignorant security because we don't live in a time where thousands of babies were dying.
And we live in the first world.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. This is a ridiculous first world problem. And by the way, we go as a family to the third world. Like, I go to, you've been with me, India, Haiti, Africa. Like, if you are a person that travels to those places.
Disneyland.
I know.
That's where it all
are
started.
Are you kidding?
I know.
It's
but if you bring the disease to the third world, though, they don't have the ability to protect themselves from it.
Right.
Disneyland. I know.
Disneyland. And now parents are starting, you know, to think twice. There's a couple articles that mom said, you know what? I turned a heel. I, you know, had my kombucha and I don't, you know, use deodorant. And all of a sudden I was an anti-vaxxer until I found out exactly what was happening to those kids that got it because of the trend. And they changed their minds. I heard an article this morning, like four or five moms said, I changed my mind.
There's just no conclusive evidence at all in any way whatsoever that does scientifically link autism to vaccines. Anything, anything that could potentially be lethal or cause long-term problems.
Right.
Like HPV, measles, forget it. No, no way.
I agree.
A whooping cough. Forget it. We'll get Dr. V to come on.
We will.
Yeah. In the next month to really weigh in. And I, God knows I trust her, obviously, with my, quite literally with my life. So, and she's earned that trust. So I'll be very curious, even though I know exactly what she's going to say, to hear what she's going to tell you guys.
Yeah. Great.
All right. We'll follow this up 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Hey. Have you been hit with overdraft fees or penalty fees? Do I even need to ask you? I think we've all had this happen to us throughout our lives. And guess what? It sucks. It's awful. It's not fair. You lose hard-earned money, and on top of that, you just get really down on yourself. Well, you know what? There's a new company called GoBank. This is the checking account that lets you say goodbye to big banks and their big fees. It's been all over the news. They've gotten rave reviews. They were even featured as the best new app in the Apple App Store. So you can go to GoBank's award-winning app. You can deposit checks, you can send money to friends, you can pay bills and more. You get 42,000 fee-free ATMs. That is twice as many as Bank of America or Chase. You can sign up in minutes at gobank.com or on their app. Apply even if you've been turned down at other banks. GoBank is a paid sponsor of this podcast, and you can learn more about their simple fees at gobank.com/no worries. It's between meals. You're hungry. You're in search of an energy boost. But come on, let's get real. Who wants another tasteless energy bar or the boring handful of dry, unsalted nuts? Come on. Do what I do. Get delicious, wholesome snacks at naturebox.com. They offer over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams of trans fat, no high-fructose corn syrup. You will even find snacks with no added sugar and without gluten if you'd like them. And yes, they taste delicious. So in the afternoon slump, when I'm hungry, here's what I do. My snack of the moment is the orange apple fruit chews. Delicious. And now I want to give you the chance to try Nature Box for free, people, with a trial box featuring 5 of their most popular snacks. Yeah, you heard me. Free snacks. Get excited. Start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. You know you're going to snack, so get smart about it with Nature Box. Again, that's naturebox.com/Jillian to get a free trial of delicious snacks today. Okay, so in the studio right now, we've got Giancarlo, my business partner, you guys may remember from the manscaping segment. Finucci's here. Autumn's out getting lunch because you know how we like to eat while we do the show, which is, I'm sure is extraordinarily irritating. And of course, my little buddy Jake is here.
How's it going?
So here's, I would like to open the show with this today. Friends with benefits. Come on. No woman in the world is able to achieve that. That is a lie. I think as a woman, you automatically get attached and there's no such thing. I don't believe it. I think that even the word friend implies you've known each other for a while. You've got a long-standing relationship. There's trust going on. A friends with benefits thing, it doesn't exist.
I think you just said it, Jill. Women can't figure it out, but men can.
No, that's not
really?
True.
Really, G? Okay, so let's talk about it.
So
you just said it.
You
get attached.
And you don't get attached.
When I was in that stage in my life, I never got attached.
I don't think you had a regular. Yeah,
are you talking
about
a friend? A one-night stand is completely
no,
different.
No. I understand. Okay. I've had that in my life.
No. You know,
I have. And it did always come to a crossroads where
the issue always gets forced.
The emotion would get involved, but it wasn't my emotion.
Come on.
Yeah. You got to understand, it's a really physical thing for men. It's a release. You know, intimacy, with in that type of scenario, they're really, you can love that person. They're your friend. You trust them. You've known them for a long time. But it's very different than, you know, I'm married. So it's a very different type of passion, if you will, you know. And typically, that situation is never brought up by the guy. It's typically the woman, in my experience, that has looked for that outlet. Because there's a lot of negative stigma for a woman bouncing around, going out every night and sleeping with guy to guy. But if there's trust and rapport, you can get away with anything.
Oh, here's the thing. I remember when I was finally single, right? And finally happy for the first time in my life. I was like, oh, I'm single. We're going to have to try to get, I would love to get Heidi's take on this. Because I was like, woo, I'm single and I'm happy about being single. But I was like, still, you know, I'd like friends with benefits. I thought I'm gonna figure this out. So Heidi was getting out of a relationship, and which is a whole nother story. And we were like, yeah, we're going to do this friends with benefits thing. To make a very long story short, it's been 6 years and I have 2 kids and I am still with this bitch. It doesn't work. It does not work. I think that any woman who tells herself that she is able to do that is a liar.
Jake, back me up here, man.
A guy, though. Let's talk. Because a guy, sometimes the guys get really attached as well. I mean, it's not just a woman.
It's circumstantial. I mean, it totally depends. But if you're at that point in your life, then the guy, you know, I'm sure you were working and you had things to do, John Carlo, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're busy, and then all you needed was that quick release and on to the rest of your day.
That's right. But, yeah. Michelle.
Quick release?
If you're a jealous guy, that's where you run into an issue, right? But if you're not a jealous man, it doesn't matter. You understand?
Mm-hmm. I need Andy to weigh in on this because I feel like Andy's a very liberated woman. Hold on. Jake, get Andy on the
phone.
Andy's
the perfect example of a woman that you can do that.
I don't think Andy can do it. I don't think she can.
I think she can.
Andy.
Hi.
Hi, Mama. I need you to weigh in on something as one of my most liberal friends, as the Samantha of my Sex and the City gang. Are you ready?
Yes.
Friends with benefits. Possible or not possible?
Yes.
Yeah.
No!
I can't hear.
What?
Yes, it is.
And I told
it
you, Jill.
Possible.
No.
Andy, it's what? G. I told her you would be the perfect person that you can do that with.
I just feel like, you know how
you're getting married. You took your friends with benefits and you're marrying him. You're knocked up with his baby. You're a liar.
Oh, no. He doesn't fit into that category, though. I had friends with benefits, and they were going to just stay friends with benefits. I didn't want them to be my baby daddy. I didn't want to have a relationship with them. I like them as friends, but like any friends, we all have certain friends that we don't want to see all the time, that we don't want to wake up looking at, but we like them in that pocket. I have friends like that, and some friends are in that little sex pocket, and that's when you access them.
The sex pocket?
Now, Andy, did you ever have any expectation beyond the intimacy once it
no,
ended?
No, because I'm not the type of girl that will assign emotion and justify doing something that has a feminine stigma.
Ladies, take a cue card from Andy.
Okay, wait then. I think we need to help people establish parameters. Because I just think women, I think a lot of women make this promise to men like, no, I can do friends with benefits. And then they get attached.
I think some of them do it as a last hurrah to try and keep the man.
Mm.
You know, say, no, I'm cool with this, I'm cool.
And that's not cool. You can't do that. You actually really have to. The only way a dude can have a girl who's a friend with a benefit, if she maintains the friend card. But often these girls, they have another card, like a referee, and they pull it out when there's a play that they don't agree with, and then all of a sudden they hold another card. If you're holding the friend card, you got to laminate it. It's laminated. It doesn't change.
Okay, wait. Michelle
just pulled
up. This is
like the spoken word. I love
Michelle
this.
Just pulled something up called the 10 rules of being friends with benefits. Oh my God, there's rules. All right, so go.
I figure if we're going to do this, we might as well.
We should give some takeaway. Fine.
Right?
All right. So what's the first rule?
So don't convince yourself that the relationship is more serious than it is.
Okay. And all right, and we think that's possible to do. Fair enough. All right, what's the second one? Or what's the second one? Do proceed with caution if you meet someone new. Why? You don't need to hit the brakes immediately with your friends with benefits. Don't assume exclusivity with a person. So wait, what does she mean? Proceed with caution, because they could be a killer. What are you talking about?
There may be other people that you become romantically involved with, you know?
Oh, so... you're having a bunch of friends with benefits, is what it's saying. Okay.
The bottom line, don't make any major decisions until you've clarified things with your new dude. I mean, let him...
Oh! Okay.
They're rules. This is the 50 Shades of Grey dating.
You told me they got married! I was told they got married and had a baby in 50 Shades of Grey.
What?
See, you didn't even finish the book. You just read the sex part.
I did. Oh, no, I didn't.
They got married, dude!
I did the Cole's notes.
See?
The Cliff Notes.
Yeah!
The All right. notes, I mean. All yes. Right. Oh, they did. They got married. Wow. So they turned into friends.
See, it doesn't work. Friends. All right, wait. Hang on. This one actually is a really good rule. Don't encourage friends and family to hang out with your FWB. I think that's really important.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's when you start crossing the line. And I remember we went through this with a friend of ours who shall remain nameless. But she had a few FWBs, and Andy was like, you are not allowed to bring this individual to brunch.
Yeah.
And no, that's right. You don't get to go to brunch. You're not even on an email chain. And you know, usually I feel like the friends with benefits doesn't last a long time because no matter what, it turns into a relationship.
See? Okay. Here's another rule. You don't ever have to sleep over.
Always. Fireman, ready to go out the door.
Yeah.
Always.
I agree.
Always.
No, I agree, because then there's intimacy weirdness, and do you kiss the person goodbye, and then all of a sudden do you start behaving within certain like expectations of relationship and intimacy? You're not supposed to fall in love with that person. You contain them.
I think I'm falling in love with Andy all over again.
Are you kidding me?
You just got, you got to contain him. You don't sleep over. You go home. You go home.
That's right.
And well, what do you say if the person's in your house?
Get out.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you got to. Hey, I got to get up. You got
to
go.
I think you have to do it fun. I think you have to add some humor then so people don't get hurt. That's when I think you have to be like, one of the rules to this is that you now need to leave. So you must go. Not because I'm trying to be a bitch about it. But I think, you know, this is the rule. You can't stay here.
Look, I think in those situations, there's obviously mutual respect, but there's also a real clear delineation of how you're supposed to behave.
It says don't be jealous.
What did I say? Jealousy?
How are you not allowed to be jealous, though?
Because it's emotional.
Yeah.
I'm not jealous when you go to the movies with someone else, Jill.
I am when you do. I get jealous. I want to know why I'm not invited.
Well, because you're immature and insecure. That's why you're exempt from being able to have a friend with benefits, because you bring emotions in. You're ineligible. There's a certain criteria that of certain people, I think, can handle it. When you fall in love, that's different. When you intend to fall in love, that's different. But if you intend to have, you know, your friends with benefits, you stay a friend card, laminated friend card.
It says you're not allowed to do anything that is outside the bedroom. So no brunch, no movies.
Absolutely. It's literally
you
park underground, you take the elevator up, no one ever sees you come in or leave.
Well, you can be friends because you have things in common. I have friends that I, you know, talk to, or, you know, I have Facebook friends that I've talked to because there's commonality. I don't want you over at my house. I don't care if you meet my other friends, but I have certain commonalities. There's certain friendships.
You know,
it's not best friends with benefits. It's just friends. It's a friend.
It's not best friends with benefits. Okay.
I got to ask, though, wait. If you don't go and do any activities with this person, how do you even get to know them and say, yo, we should just get together and bang?
Yeah, exactly. How are you people doing this?
Well, a lot of times the FWBs stem from past relationships in your life.
Oh, no. That's
like,
way too complicated.
Like high school friends or college friends, or you used to work at a company together and then you lost touch and you got reconnected and I'm here and you're there. But the booty call is the booty call.
You know,
there's rules to it.
You're right, G. You know what? We might have to call it acquaintances with benefits.
Yeah.
I think friend might be, you know, we got to loosen the term a little bit, because friendship says, you know, I'm committed to you as a person who's going to support you. Like,
so.
No. If
that
I don't even sleep over,
sense.
Don't call me with problems. We know where it's at.
Oh, my.
It's true.
I remember, though, when I first tried God, I wish Heidi just texted me. She's in her therapy session, which no wonder she's in therapy, because I discussed the beginning of our relationship. I remember when I first was like, just to be clear,
I don't want a girlfriend. Mm. And I could tell, and she's like, well, I don't want a girlfriend either, but I could tell she was pissed. I could tell her feelings were hurt, yeah, even though she didn't want a girlfriend. But then it was, yeah, like, we broke all these stupid rules. Like, we did things outside of the bedroom.
Sure.
There were sleepovers. I think that's where this is where the feelings begin to attach.
Wait, well, to that point, there's been situations where you are acquaintances with benefits, and then you're like, wait, you're actually pretty cool. So let's break that part off, because I can't give you more than what I can give you.
Then you just want to be friends?
Yeah.
Oh. You're giving up the sex part to be an actual friend?
Guys can always get sex. A lot of times, guys need cool girlfriends. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They really do. They just do.
Why?
I've just learned the value of this.
Yeah.
It makes you look so good in public, all the other girls.
It does. That's what it does. But it's not, because you know what it is? It's a stamp of pre-approval.
That's right.
And I used to tell this to all my friends when we would go out to bars when I was younger. I'd be like, let me tell you how this works. You're out prowling with a group of boys. You look like a bunch of predators, like a wild pack of lions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm like, no chick is interested. You're desperate, bad news. However, when you're with a lady friend, you look like you've been pre-approved by the female pack. You're cultured, you're sophisticated, and you can be trusted. You've been signed off on and anointed by another female.
But even if it's just one
so
girl,
good.
You don't
it's
even
so
need to be
well
with a group
said.
Of them.
Yeah, one girl says, okay, but here's another rule. This, by the way, so we don't get sued, is in Glamour, the rules that Michelle's. Right. By the way, Michelle, we get sued a lot, just so you know.
Awesome.
So yeah, just sorry, I'm just educating Michelle on the ins and outs of the podcast. Thought you
got
should.
It.
Yeah, so the rules are on Glamour. Glamour says you must practice. Now, see, here's another one, you guys. Here's one for all you heteros, and this was going to be its own segment, but I think I'm actually going to make it. I'm going to blend it into this one. It says you have to protect yourself and you have to use condoms.
Oh, my God.
You guys don't, though.
What do you mean we don't?
Syphilis is on the rise. It was one of the top articles on menshealth.com the other day.
Well, first off, syphilis.
Because all you animals won't use condoms.
And nor will women.
Really? Andy, really?
Yeah. Like, I know that the article referred to, like, Grindr being a candidate because a lot of people, and they said that statistically, the highest amount of people that it was affecting were men with men. But those are part of the rules of safety.
Yeah.
Those are safety rules that have to follow you through and through regardless. I mean, you know, like even getting back to the friend with benefit, sometimes that girl turns into a wingman. That has happened. You know, when you become a wingman, you got to be safety person always through and through, no matter
Batman
what.
Batman and Robin.
But
you're combining multiple conversations.
But wait.
The syphilis thing.
No, this says you must use, if you're going to have a friend with benefits, obviously you're both sleeping around, you have to use condoms. And I got to tell you, even if you're on birth control, you must use condoms. Like, we're starting to see all these old STDs that were damn near gone coming back because everybody's like, oh, I'm on the pill, and oh, AIDS isn't a concern the way that it used to be. But you know what? So's herpes, so's HPV.
Chlamydia,
the older group, by the way, I don't have the HPV vaccine. Not that this has ever been a massive concern of mine, because I obviously haven't slept with men for a while. But the HPV, by
News
the way,
flash. Oh, very.
Jerk. But why are you guys not using condoms?
I would back this whole conversation up, and let's start with when you're in high school and you start becoming sexually active. The community that you're in high school, okay?
Okay.
Now, whether you're going to public school or private school, typically there's a circle of trust among your friends. Now, I bet you could ask 10 guys and 10 girls, and 9 out of the 10 will tell you in their first sexual experiences at a young age, any type of contraceptive or a condom on it was not used.
Why? What about pregnancy? Were they on the pill?
Okay, I'm glad you say that, because that's what I always used to hear. Like, my friends were like, I don't want to get pregnant.
Right. That's what girls always fall back on, that I think, because they think, well, guys don't want to get pregnant.
Right,
either.
So that's why you have pull and pray. So
that doesn't work.
It worked for me.
So
then you get to college and the playing field changes. So in your mind, and mind you, I'm talking about me. I wasn't on Tinder. I'm not on Tinder. I wasn't on Grindr or any of that nonsense.
Well, it didn't exist then, yeah.
Right. So when you get to college, in the back of your mind, you pretty much know, like, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be underage drinking. We're going to party. We're going to do this. if I end up with the girl, if I just met her and I'm going to hook up with her, I'm going to sleep with her, she's probably doing this with me and 10 other guys.
Right.
So in the back of your mind, like, let me be safe.
Right.
Okay. However, I've never been with a woman, okay, that I either knew or didn't know that ever stopped and said, please get a condom. If I was the one that pulled out the condom, they were like, you're going to use that?
What?
Yeah. Because why? What happens? Guys lose erection with condoms. There's all these things that happen. Sensitivity. I'm allergic. I'm this. I'm that. So that's why 9 out of 10 times, if you look at the reason why people aren't using protection, they're not thinking about, I'm going to get HIV, to your point.
Or
right?
Herpes.
Or herpes. They're like, I don't want to get pregnant.
But... oh my God! All I could think about was, I don't want venereal warts,
all right.
Or I don't want big gaping sores. Right, which, so, by the way, that's a virus, not a bacteria. Cannot be cured. You cannot cure a virus.
Like, let me ask you, how sexy is it of you to be like, let me put this dental dam on you before I go down on you?
Ooh, that's rough.
Right. So, what does that mean? A, oh, you don't trust the person.
Oh,
okay,
Jesus God.
And that you think they
sleep
around.
I don't even
know
that would work, though—a dental dam.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, right? That's what you're technically supposed to do.
The last time I pulled out a condom with this chick that I'm currently friends with benefits with, she goes, well, why do you need that? I'm on the pill. You don't trust me?
Exactly. And so it turns into a trust thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, eh, well.
No! I'd be like, no! I don't want my little soldier to fall off.
Right.
I don't want him to turn green.
Then don't have
sex. I'm
going to
teach my son. I'm going to be like, I tell Phoenix all the time, you've got to protect Mr. Wiener.
Oh, jeez.
All the time.
But I tell you right now, as Uncle G, I can guarantee you that Horsewang will not use a condom in his first experiences.
I'll kill him.
It doesn't matter what you think. It's not going to happen because...
I will kill him.
You got to clarify Horsewang real quick.
It's true. Oh, my son is hung like a donkey. Like a freaking donkey. I thought we've discussed this before. Have we not?
But we haven't given him the nickname Horsewang.
No, his name's not Horsewang.
Donkey Wiener.
His name in private is Donkey Wiener.
Nice.
You know why? Because when I was a kid, I had a roommate who was hung like a horse, and I'm getting up to go to work in the morning because I had my responsible job at the time, and this woman runs out my front door and screams back at him, thank you for donkey. And I'll never forget when Phoenix was born, and my mom was like, oh, sweetie, I'm outside, right? It's 3 a.m. They're about to cut Heidi open. She's been in labor for 28 hours. We've been waiting for this kid for 9.5 months. My mom's on the phone with me, and she's like, you're about to meet your son for the first time, and I'm in tears. And I go in the emergency room, and I'm waiting for them to tell me I can look because, you know, they put up the little thing when they do the C-section. And I'm like, waiting. And they go, okay. And I look, and I go, oh. All I see is giant, and I was like, oh my, is he, oh my God. And I thought he had elephantitis. I literally was like, and Heidi's like, is he okay? And I was like, I mean, and Andy, did you not show up? And I was like, I think something's wrong here.
Oh my God.
We were all, let's see it. And then everybody in unison was like, whoa.
Yeah. My poor son.
Respect.
He's Brazilian though. I think that's part of it. And believe me, I will make sure that he wraps Mr. Wiener. Anyway. Is there another rule? I think we're
That's it. There was only 10. I think we hit them.
Oh, forget it.
I mean...
you guys are all perverts. We need to come up... Michelle, we need to do something with gravitas. I regret this tremendously. So who doesn't want to burn extra calories throughout the day without actually being at the gym? It's easy. Guess what you do? You stand up instead of sit down. And you can do this at work. The Very Desk is the bomb. It's a desk that offers an adjustable standing desk that sits on top of your existing desk, so you don't need to spend money on a whole new desk. You can raise it to any desired level, to a seated position, a standing position, in 3 seconds. It helps you increase your activity throughout the day. It's better for your posture. It burns more calories. Models start at just $275. And the average user can burn as many as 130 additional calories per day by replacing 4 hours of sitting with 4 hours of standing. That's the equivalent calorie burning of running a 10K every week. It ships fully assembled, and it's ready to use right out of the box. Visit varidesk.com for more information. That's varidesk.com. Okay, all my badass athletes out there, we all know that the occasional injury is a fact of life. And some of us don't want to slow down for that, nor should you have to. What you can do is use Arctic Ease Instant Cold Ice Therapy Wraps. These things are awesome. It's cold therapy that you can use while you're still being active. You can run, you can bike, you can lift while keeping your joints and muscles wrapped and cool to help manage pain and inflammation. Arctic Ease wraps stay in place while giving you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. And the great thing is there is no freezer needed. The sleek design is going to fit comfortably with no bulky ice bags. They're reusable. They are clinically tested and proven effective. All you got to do is put Arctic Ease on and you have immediately targeted cold compression therapy where you need it, before, during, or even after exercise. So if you've got pain, swelling, injuries, you can safely use Arctic Ease for instant, long-lasting cold compression therapy, even while you're training. So do not put your training on ice. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at your local retailer or go to arcticease.com.
All right, Jillian, we have Whitley on the line for you.
Hey, Whitley, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Jillian. It's so good to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm just giving you a little heads up right now. One of my dearest friends, Andrea Orbeck, is in the studio with me for these several, gosh, like a month worth of shows. She's helping me grieve, to be honest, Janice. So we very unfortunately do not have Janice. But I do have Andy, and I've got Michelle with me, and Autumn and Jake. We're all here to help.
Hello.
Okay,
so,
hi, good.
How can we help, buddy? What's going on?
Well, I guess the gist of why I wrote into you is that I feel really angry most of the time. And
me too.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Go ahead.
I feel like I'm just constantly on edge, and like any sign of weakness in somebody else or in something or a system that I have to be subjected to just sends me into a rage. And a lot of times it's really hard for me to try to contain myself, and I feel like I'm at risk of getting myself into trouble at some point.
You are, without a doubt. Yeah, massive
especially
consequences.
Especially like at work when people in meetings are pissing me off and I have to try to have my poker face on. It's really hard. And I don't want to be like this. Like
Sweetie, nobody wants to feel like this. Nobody wants to feel like this. I sure wish my mom, unfortunately, would be, God, I wish we could have had her on this call. She is sick as a dog. Otherwise, I would have been, I would have had her on some of these podcasts, because she would really be able to answer this in the most appropriate way. But what I can tell you, and my own experience with this, is that anger obviously is, I'm not going to say obviously, because it is not at all obvious, so forgive me. Anger usually is a cover up for hurt. So we're angry because we're hurt. It's a defense mechanism against feeling pain. Pain for a million different reasons. It could be disappointment. Could be abandonment. It could be, you name it. It could be in a way that we were abused. But that's what generally anger is. And the things you're talking about are triggering some kind of very old hurt. And you're displacing your hurt feelings onto scenarios that quite honestly are irrelevant, like people in meetings that bother you. So what we really should look at is, okay, you've given me a few examples of things that make you, you've given me, sorry, generalizations, like weakness or arbitrary rules. Can you give me some specifics so Andy and I and our whole little posse here can try to help you narrow down the origin of this, and then I'll explain why that's relevant.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Well, like, the one chore that I ask my boyfriend to do is take our dog out. And I feel like I have to just nag him for an hour before he'll actually do it. And that makes me really angry.
Okay, got it.
If anybody in traffic cuts me off, which I realize, you know, they don't know me, so it's not a personal attack, but
doesn't
that's
matter.
How's
it
I
making you feel?
Interpret it.
How's it making you feel? I hate that too, by the way.
I really hate it. Yeah. But tell me why you hate it.
I guess I hate it because I feel like I have a right to be in my space just as much as everyone else, and I feel like they're
You feel like you're not being considered. Your feelings aren't being considered. And just like with the boyfriend, you feel disappointed and like you're not being supported and being considered, and you've asked and you're being ignored.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me some on the weakness that you mentioned.
I don't know. I hate laziness. Like, if somebody appears to be lazy, it just bothers the crap out of me.
I'm hearing a general theme. I mean, you guys tell me if you're hearing the same thing. I'm basically hearing, and I think what you're suggesting as weakness or laziness is, by the way, again, coming back down to, from what I can tell, people not considering you. So, like, if you might be perceiving, ugh, he didn't want to walk the dog, he's lazy, but it's really coming back to you feeling like, I asked for something, you ignored me, you're not supporting me, you're not helping me. It seems like everything is you feeling like your feelings and your needs are being ignored and denied for the most part.
Yeah.
Negated. Okay. And so let's go back for a second, okay? So how long have you felt like your needs and your feelings have been unimportant?
Probably a long time.
Okay. Take me back.
I don't know. I think probably since I was a little kid, like always trying to please everyone and make sure that everyone else felt okay, and I kind of put myself in last place and just tried to make sure that everyone else felt happy with however things were.
And no one did that for you, right?
Yeah, maybe not.
Okay, honey, this is why you're mad. All right, so, and by the way, you have every right to be mad, which in truth, you are mad, but what you really are is hurt. You're incredibly hurt. And you feel like, why didn't these people love me enough to take care of me? Why, you know, is it me? Is it them? Am I not good enough? And, you know, then you tried to earn your keep or be good enough by taking care of everybody else's needs. And oftentimes, by the way, when we do that, what we're trying to do is show people how to treat us.
Yeah.
We're like, look, see, this is how you take care of somebody. You do this, you do that, you plan this, you plan that. You do X, you do Y, you do Z. And we don't get that back. And what's happening right now is that you're taking all of this rage you have about that neglect, because that's how you feel, neglected, and it's spilling over into the guy next to you in traffic, into the guy in the meeting that you don't even know or care about, and this is road rage. This is all that stuff. Road rage is never because you don't like the guy that cut you off, dude. Do you understand what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So this is very old, very historical rage. And what I'm going to try to do is give you some very broad strokes on what will help. But with this kind of stuff, I really like to recommend counseling, and here's why I like to recommend it, because you've got a very primal wound here. Mm-hmm. And getting to the bottom of that wound, grieving that wound, learning how to manage any of those toxic relationships, if they are still in existence, is critical. And you really are going to need a strong support system. So I highly recommend a therapist, which, of course, I'm in therapy. You know, I'm a huge proponent. And what it does is it provides you with a safe environment and a licensed professional to help you start to unpack these very scary, very painful feelings so that you can understand them and you can channel them in a way that is life-affirming instead of destructive, like raging in a meeting and getting fired, like screaming at a guy in traffic and having him be unstable and shoot you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's why this stuff is important. Now, I want you to understand. Let me give you some things to help you control this in the moment. When you're in the meeting and the guy is like being a jerk or whatever, or the guy cuts you off in the street, I want you to stop and go, this is not about this guy I don't even know. This is about my childhood stuff. Take the power out of the scenario, okay? I then want, so you go, this isn't about this. I know what this is about. This is about this family dynamic,
And I'm not going to allow this toxic family dynamic to come into play here. I want you to pause and I want you to be conscious, not unconscious, conscious of what you're feeling, why you're feeling it. Then I want you to stop and I want you to think through your behavior. So I want you to have long-term goals in mind. Okay? So professional, get promoted. I want to ascend in my career. I want X, I want Y, I want Z. And I want you to think about how your behavior in that moment is going to affect the scenario. Is it going to get you closer to that long-term goal or farther away? If the answer is farther away, you need to pause and reapproach. And you go, this is an individual who is just an unhappy individual. This is not about me. This is not about him. It's historical. And how am I going to get closer to that long-term goal? So let me try to play the game here and win. This is not about, you know, being nice to this person and having them be inconsiderate. This is not my father. This is not my mother. This is not my siblings. This is not whoever. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I need you to shine some light, because by shining light and being aware, you're going to take the power out of the situation. You're going to have a game plan of pause and think through the steps. Are your actions that you choose to take going to get you closer or farther away? If it's farther away, you have a list of recovery behaviors of ways that you will handle people like that. Distancing yourself, walking away, ways of diffusing the situation with humor, defense mechanisms that will work for you positively instead of negatively. Then what you're going to do, and this is such a cliche, but it is part of the answer, you will hopefully be able to get in therapy where you'll be able to process and grieve these emotions and establish healthy boundaries with the people that treat you in these ways. And last, and it's the most significant step, sweetheart, I was just having this conversation with a lady that actually does lose hair this morning, and she was telling me that her marriage, she thinks, is coming to an end, and, you know, how she feels disappointed, let down, never cared for, unsupported, same thing. And it's a dynamic that stems from her relationship with her mother, that she's now playing out with this husband, thinking he was going to come around. If she was enough, he would have come around. And of course, they don't change. We change. And one of the things I was saying to her is, hey, sweetheart, people are only going to respect you as much as you respect yourself. They're only going to love you as much as you love yourself. And the key here is that everything you're doing for these people, have you ever done them for yourself? So we always go through like all these things that we think are going to please other people. Like Heidi and I went to Amsterdam and I stopped and was like, oh, she would love the floating tulip market. Oh, she would love the botanical garden. Oh, she would love. And I made a list of all the little things she would love. The old me, the whole trip would have been the Heidi trip. Or by the way, whoever I was dating, the so-and-so trip. The whole trip would have been like, please them, please them, please them. Aren't I good? And then by the way, they wouldn't have stopped and planned the whole trip around me. And then I'd be like, you don't love me. You don't care. I'm never supported. And there's the pattern. Now, what I do now is I love Heidi and she does support me. So sure, I pulled out things that I really thought she'd love. I also pulled out things I really thought I would love. I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to do this. I like to go antiquing. She doesn't necessarily care about antiquing. I don't care about tulips. However, there's room for both of us. But I first make sure that I am caring for my needs. And because she loves me and supports me, she'll go antiquing with me. But you need to start making time for you. You need to start supporting yourself and stop expecting it from other people, because you will be consistently let down. The dynamic and the pattern has to start changing with you. And as you begin to fill your own needs by buying yourself flowers, planning your own vacation, getting, you know, just this morning, the lady who does my daughter's hair was like, my birthday's coming up. He's never bought me one thing, never. And I'm like, why don't you buy yourself something? What do you want? Get yourself a birthday present. I got myself a birthday present when I was in Amsterdam. I was like, I love this antique clock for me. I bought it. I have no shame. I bought it for me. It's my birthday present to me. I deserve it. And I don't expect anyone to read my mind and go, oh, Jill would really love this weird old clock with sailboats. Like, who's going to, you know what I mean, sweetheart? You got to start with you. And that will begin to also help you diffuse some of this anger, because you won't feel so empty and so neglected.
Okay.
Okay? You got a lot to work on, babe. But start with these steps. And I want your little butt in therapy. You need it.
Yeah, she's right. And that's your opportunity to be heard and to find someone who's there to hear you the way you want to be heard, and then help you develop coping mechanisms and identify your triggers. You really deserve that.
She's right, yeah. Sweetie. And that's what we develop with a therapist, is a healthy transference where we can project our dynamic onto them and get that healthy response. We can relearn these dynamics. Andy, spot on.
It sounds really good. I agree that I think it would help me a lot.
That's a really good place to start, okay? And just know you're not alone. I have struggled with this my entire life. My entire life. And I've made those impulsive anger mistakes, and I have paid so many times. I hit rock bottom with it so many times that it finally gave me the courage to start turning things around and handling them differently.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll try to keep that in mind.
Here's one more thing. Look for an outlet where you can pound out a little bit of this rage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a boxing class. I don't know if it's running. But sometimes you're just going to need to pound out some of this rage. You're going to need to let the friggin' I start journaling. I want you to start journaling where you can just be like, you son of a... Just vomit it all out, honey. Get it out in a safe place. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
You got this.
Okay.
And then check back in with us because we read those emails and I want to know how it's going.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Thank you.
No one likes that feeling, by the way. I hate it. No one likes to feel angry all the time.
No.
It's a terrible feeling.
That's the worst.
Especially when you know deep down unconsciously that it's not even attached to the situation you were in.
Yeah.
That's suffrage, too, to know that it's coming from somewhere else.
It's so... Oh, God. It's so true. I am the queen of that, man. And it,
How do you let it out? What are your coping methods?
Honestly, unfortunately, one of my coping mechanisms is I talk too much. And, like, poor Heidi, she gets the brunt of it. Like, when we were at the Rijek Museum and we were treated that way. Oh, my God. And I just was like, I can't believe it. And she's like, she'd heard it already 50 times.
So does talking it out help you?
It does help me.
Okay.
It helps me mentally process it. It helps me expel it. It helps me purge it.
Yeah, it's good.
But you can't expect one person to take all that on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll talk about it in therapy and like my reaction and why my reaction was so big, or, you know, how it made me feel and where it's coming from. And, you know, I'll run, I'll work out, I'll journal, I'll do anything to like, get it out. Because it's brutal.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.